Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
We'll be reading from the book of Leviticus, chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread. And assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting." And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done." And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And he placed the breastpiece on him, and in the breastpiece he put the Urim and the Thummim. And he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, and consecrated them. And he sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times, and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basin and its stand to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him.
Well, as we study the book of Leviticus today, we've entitled the message God's Way, because God was very particular about how things were done, particularly when it came to the priesthood and the offerings and the sacrifices in the book. And today, the passage that we're reading about deals with the ordination of the priest and the high priest, and how they were told to obey the instructions. And if we study this passage, we'll get a better understanding of God's holiness and in honoring God as he told the Israelites, if we honor God the same way, we will get to see the glory of God in our lives. Leviticus 9:6, Moses said, "This is the thing that the Lord commanded you." Notice why. "That the glory of the Lord may appear to you." And so if we desire to see God's glory working in our midst, which translates to God's blessings, we must learn to approach him and serve him as he commands. And by looking at the ordination of the high priest at that time, that is Aaron, who was the designated high priest, and then his sons, when we look at that, we will learn the benefits of doing things God's way, but we will also learn the cost of missing the mark. We'll examine 3 features today as we look at this short passage and then move into the New Testament. 3 features of the priesthood as seen in the Old Testament that make application to what it means to us today. And we'll look at a little bit at that. But then we're going to move into the New Testament and see what the priesthood is in the New Testament. And in that, we'll see why Jesus Christ came to come and show us a better way. So let's talk first about the chosen ones. Leviticus 8:2. He said, "Take Aaron and his sons with you, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the 2 rams, and the basket of unleavened bread." Now these men who were to serve as priests, they were given strict guidelines as to what the process was as they were indoctrinated into the priesthood. And if they disobeyed, it would be to their own hurt. God was very specific about all the details of not only the clothing they wore, but how they presented offerings before him. On one occasion, 2 of Aaron's sons became careless in this area. And I want to show you what the price of carelessness was. And in Leviticus 10:1, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it. Now notice this next line. And offered unauthorized fire. God had a specific way they were to get the fire from inside the tabernacle. They offered fire from somewhere else, unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Now notice what happened as a result. The fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And so they were struck dead because they were approaching God in an improper manner. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. So God said, there's a way that you come into the tabernacle. There's a way that you offer sacrifices. There's certain clothing you must wear. There's certain procedures you must follow. And when they said, no, we're going to shortcut that procedure, they paid with their lives. Now, another example of disregard for the Lord's way was one of the kings. Remember, only the priests were supposed to offer offerings, but King Uzziah had had a great success, and it went to his head. Listen to what it says in 2 Chronicles 26:15. In Jerusalem, he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and great stones, and his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. In other words, God blessed him and God helped him. What happened? He became proud. 2 Chronicles 26:16. But when he was strong, he grew proud in his destruction, for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Remember, only the priest was supposed to do this, but he's the king now, and he's powerful. He's had victories. He's going to go in and show the people he's a man of God and what God has done in his life. 2 Chronicles 26:17. But Azariah, the priest, went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they said, they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priest, for the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord." However, the king is all puffed up over his victory and his power. And what does he do? Then Uzziah was angry, and he took a censer in his hand to burn incense. And when he became angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priest and in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And so God now strikes him, and it says, "And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they rushed him out quickly, and he hurried himself to go out because the Lord had struck him." And King Uzziah was a leper all the days to the death, the days of his death, all the days of his life then. And he became a leper, and he lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. He lost it all. He lost it all because he became proud and said, "I'm going to approach God my way." And because he approached God his way, he found it to be a terrible experience. You and I must approach God his way. And God's way was one of the high priests, Aaron, and then many of the priests, the sons of Aaron. That's how it was in the Old Testament priesthood. Then there was special clothing they had to wear. They just couldn't go to in the temple wearing anything. They had to have special clothing. Leviticus 8:7, and he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and with the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of ephod around him, binding it up to binding it to him with the band. And so there's this big outfit, a vest, a long gown, an ephod, a waistband, a special hat with a band around it, all this. And it says, and he placed the breastplate on him, and in the breastplate he put the Urim and Thummim. Now there's different ideas of what that means. Most people used it as a sense of how they could discover the will of God. But that's what they were, two stones that were placed on the breastplate. And he set the turban on his head. And on the turban in front he was a golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Again, as the Lord commanded Moses. It must be noted that only the high priest wore these things. He had a very special, distinct outfit. Then the regular priests had their own outfits, but they weren't nearly as fancy as the high priest. And they had sashes and They had caps instead of that big place, the crown the high priest had. Exodus 28:21, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. So these were magnificent outfits. Again, only one for the high priest, and then each priest had his own. For Aaron's sons, you shall make coats and sashes and caps. You shall make them for the glory and beauty. And you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him. And you shall anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. And you shall make for them linen undergarments to cover their naked flesh. They shall reach from the hips to the thighs. Now, why was that? Well, because the priest had this altar where they would sacrifice the animals, and going up to the altar, there were about 5 or 6 steps. And God wanted to make sure that nothing unseemly or unsightly, because these, if you understand the outfits they're wearing, they look like dresses. And so God covered them completely so there would be nothing improper in the way that they should look as they went up to the altar. And it says, and they shall be on Aaron and on his sons, and when they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister to the holy place, lest they bear guilt and die. They could only go and do these things God's way. And this shall be a statue forever for him and for his offspring after him. So we see that God chose the high priest, and that the Jews had to come the way of God. And note, there was only one high priest. So the Jew would come to offer a sacrifice, the priest would meet him, and he would have to go through the process. Only the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, and he could go into the holy place, but there were limitations based upon who you are and what position you had. Both priest and high priest had costumes, but the high priest had a superior costume, and he was the only one who could serve as a mediator. And so he would go into the Holy of Holies when it was required. So he saw the chosen ones in the clothing. Let's look a little bit at the ceremony. Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water, indication of being cleansed. And then the clothing was placed and put on them, the tunic, the robe, the ephod, the breastplate, the turban, all put on him. Now he's all dressed up. And then it says he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. And of course, many believe that that was an indication of the Holy Spirit. And after a sacrifice is made, the priests are dressed and anointed. Then 2 offerings are made. There's a sin offering that was made because the priest is a human. And so before he could offer a sacrifice on behalf of others in the nation of Israel, he first had to offer a sacrifice based on his own sinfulness and his need of forgiveness. So there was the sin offering, and this was a non-sweet savoring offering, Leviticus 8:14. Then he brought the bull of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering. So there's that transferring of sin. They had to be cleansed before they could declare the message to other people. And then there was a burnt offering which followed that. That was a sweet savor offering. That was an indication that they had gone through the sin offering, they had been accepted by God, and now they could have this burnt offering, which is an indication they were in fellowship. Leviticus 8:18, then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, again, transference of any sin. And Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. That's a key line. They did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. And then Moses said, this is the thing that the Lord commanded you to do. Why? That the glory of the Lord may appear to you. And it's not until offerings were made for the high priest and the priests in general that the sacrifices could be made for the people. Now that that's done, Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people. And notice what happened. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Now let me ask you a question. If you saw the glory of the Lord from heaven, God consumed an offering, and this is what he's going to do, by fire. It says fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the priests saw it, all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. If you stood outside and you saw the glory of the Lord and you saw fire come from heaven and consume the offering, wouldn't you think that you'd be faithful forever? And yet, the nation of Israel failed very much in this way. Having come God's way, though, God revealed his glory to them, but something happened. And so I want to take you from the chosen ones, the Old Testament priesthood, to the covenant of Christ, and see why we needed a Savior and why Christ needed to come. So we'll look at this, and you realize, of course, that did they really honor God, and did they keep the faith? Aaron was a picture of Christ, as you might guess, in the Old Testament, and he made sacrifices on behalf of the people for them. And the law laid out clearly the process of approaching God. But the Old Testament priesthood was a type of what was to come. God knew that given all that they had been given, they would ultimately still fail. They would ultimately still walk away from him, and their sin natures would take control. God wanted to bless. The high priest, along with the priest, was to instruct people in the way of holiness. And he made wonderful, wonderful promises to them if they approached him the right way. But what happens is they end up not doing it. Exodus 19:5, now therefore if, my stepmother used to say, if is a little word with a big meaning. If, the Bible says, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So the word was if. God had done all this. He described the way to approach him. He described how he would bless them. But then he said, if you will indeed obey my voice. Well, the nation of Israel failed in their mission. And they didn't become the kingdom that they were supposed to be because they failed in their mission. Why did they fail? After seeing all the glories of God, they had seen everything you can imagine from the time they left Egypt to the building of the tabernacle and the building of the temple. They'd seen all these wonderful things. Why is it that they failed? And I'd like to suggest in Isaiah 1:2, here's what he says. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children I have reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. He goes on to say, the ox knows its owner, the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. And then he goes on to say, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why? Why was it that the nation of Israel despised the Lord? Now, we're not talking about every single individual in the nation. We're talking the nation as a whole. Why is it that they took a walk from the Lord? They had the priesthood. They had the commands. They had the promises. They had seen the blessing of God. Why did they fail so miserably? And Jeremiah tells us in chapter 5, verse 30, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction. No, God said it was his way, but the priest said, no, we're doing it our way. And the prophets and the priests were falsely teaching people and said, my people love to have it so. Itchy ears, they loved the way that things were going. But what will you do when the end comes? And so the word was that the priests were to intercede, and they would teach the word to the people of the nation of Israel. They were to hold them to an account of holiness, and they failed. Lamentations, Jeremiah the prophet writes, and he's lamenting the condition, and this is what he says. This was for the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests who shed in the midst of her the blood of righteousness. The very people that should have been leading the nation to righteousness were leading them to unrighteousness. And even in the time of Christ, the priesthood was very corrupt. And so the ones that had been given all these privileges and had seen the glory of God were corrupt. And God said, I need to change this situation. The very people entrusted. Why? Why were they doing this? Because they disobeyed one word. Jesus, the Bible says in Leviticus, This is what I command you. This is what I command you. This is what I command you. Over and over again it says that. And it was to be God's way, but they chose their own way and they paid the price for it. Church leaders must always ask the question, what does God say? And must proclaim what God says, not what they say. We must believe He means what He says. And the leadership failed to do that. God made a promise, even to a sinful people, though, knowing how messed up they would become, and knowing how messed up they were. Here's what He told them He was going to do. Ezekiel 36:25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. How? I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And so what the Lord is promising is that in this new covenant, He's going to give us a new heart. And He's going to replace our fallen heart. He's going to give us a new heart, not a heart of stone, but a heart that will follow the Lord based on the Spirit. And the Old Testament priesthood, which couldn't do it because they didn't have that new heart. And that's why many of the priests sinned and went away. So God did with it what God did this in sending Christ. He gave us the opportunity for a new heart. Christ became the new high priest, the sacrificial lamb. So I want to read to you a long passage in Hebrews, but I think it'll open our eyes to understanding where we are today in the priesthood. Hebrews 7:11. Now if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, it wasn't obtainable. Why? Because the new heart had to be planted in them. If perfection had been obtainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there be have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek? Rather, that one named after the order of Aaron. There was a need because the priesthood couldn't do it. They kept turning astray and doing things their own way. So what does God do? He sends us Jesus Christ, and Jesus becomes that perfect sacrifice, died once for all. And when someone comes to know Christ, what they get is a new heart. A new heart, the Holy Spirit comes to live within them. And then Hebrews 9:11, but when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that had come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. And then He appears, and it says He entered once for all. He didn't have to go like the high priest. Every year there was an atonement for the sins of the people. Then every time people sinned, He would make atonements and sacrifice. Didn't have to do that. Christ did it once for all. And He goes into the holy place, not by the means of blood or goats or calves, but the means of His own blood, and thus securing an eternal redemption. He goes on to say, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of the heifer sanctify for purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify, notice this, purify our consciences from dead work to serve the living God. What keeps us from doing what Israel did? What keeps us from going astray? The Spirit of God implanted by us because of the grace of God. The sacrifice of Christ putting a new heart within us. In Hebrews 9:15, therefore He is the mediator of a new covenant. When we take off a communion and we sit up here, we say, the Lord said this cup is the new what? The new covenant which is in my blood. The old covenant is done away with, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. And then He goes on to say, for where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at the death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. The will of God was that I put in you a new heart. I put in you my spirit. And that's what he did when Christ died on the cross. And you come to the Lord and you ask him to be your Savior. He gives you a new heart, a new direction, a new way. He gives you the Spirit of God. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. It was the shedding of blood over and over. He says, for when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of the calves and goats with water and scarlet and wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you. And in the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tent and the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But then he goes on to say this. Thus it was necessary for the copies, these were only copies, the copies of heavenly things to be purified with these rites. But the heavenly things themselves, notice this, with better sacrifices than these. The Old Testament sacrifice held off the judgment of God, but it never could do what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he died on our behalf and allowed the Spirit of God to come into our life. That's why I say all the time, I am glad I was born on this side of the cross, not on this side of the cross. Because Christ comes into our life and changes our lives, makes us new people in Christ, and it's a better sacrifice. And he goes on to say in verse 24, for Christ has entered not into the holy places made with hands. When the priest went into the Holy of Holies, he was there, but he wasn't in heaven. He wasn't presenting it before the living God. But Christ said, it said he not in the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Incidentally, we have one who makes intercession for us 24/7 all the time, the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of the living God. Hebrews 9:25, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy place every year with the blood, not his own. But notice verse 26, for then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself. We are living under the blessing of the new covenant. The Lord Jesus Christ died on our behalf. When we cry out to him, Lord, save me, he saves us and he gives us a new heart. He redeems us. He places us into the family of God. We are accepted in the beloved. We are forgiven of our sins, and we have a living relationship with the Lord. And the Hebrews 9:27, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. But notice why he's coming. Not to deal with sin, because we're already dealt with that, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Our next relationship, our next time that we expect to be in the fullness of Christ is when he comes for us. And if you belong to Christ, the promise is that he is coming for you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You belong to him. He is coming for you, and we eagerly wait for him. God's way was to put a new heart into people. God's way is not for you first to get clean, but rather for let him clean you. God's way was to make any who would bow the knee to him, believe it or not, a priest. Did you know that you're a priest? You're a priest. Now, some people say, well, I have to go see the priest. No, you are a priest if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Not on your terms, but on his. He has made you a priest. Listen to what it says. Revelation 1:5. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Notice this. And made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and you became one of his children by accepting him, he said that Jesus Christ was, Aaron was representing who Christ was. Now Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice. Then who are his priests? You and I are his priests. We have been made priests by the living God. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are the ones now who are representing Christ to a fallen and dying world, a people for his own possession. Why? What are we supposed to be doing? Notice, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You have been commissioned by the living God. He has said, I have saved you, I have cleansed you, I've put a new heart in you, I've made you a child of God, and now you represent me in this dying world. You are a priest, and you are the one who can represent me. When someone says, how do I get saved? You know the answer. Someone, a Christian, says to you, I've sinned. You know the answer. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us from all sins. You say, I need guidance. Well, who do you go to? You go to the living Lord. And who gives him that advice? We open up the Word of God and we say, this is what the Lord says. And we can speak with authority. We are his priests to declare the word of God to a dying world. So you must come to God's way, but when you do, he will fill you, he will use you, and he will use you for his glory. Notice what it says in Titus 3:4, when goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not on the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. You are a new person in Christ when you accept the Lord. If you have not come to know the Lord, the problem is simply this: you need a new heart. The Lord will change your heart. He will wash you. He will cleanse you. He'll place you into the family of God. And then you say, now what do I do? He says, now you declare my glories to a fallen world. You tell them what has happened to you and how God has forgiven you and made you a child of God and how he will forgive anybody who will call on the name of the Lord. We have a wonderful task in front of us. And much of what the Israelites did was ritual. We're not into ritual. We're into declaring the name of Christ to a fallen world. And we don't want to make the same mistake that Israel made. We don't want to end up being hard-hearted, cold-hearted, stone-hearted. No, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, rejoicing that we can share the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole Bible is filled with my way stories, and they're all destructive. But when you do it God's way, you find out what it is to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh, and to be used by God in a broken world to share the gospel. You are a priest. And so someone says, I need a priest. I'm here. You say, no, you're not a priest, are you? Yeah. I represent Jesus Christ. I share the gospel with a dying world. I tell them how they can be right with the living God. Well, who made you a priest? God. He said, we're a royal priesthood, and he wants to use us for his glory. The only question is, are you willing to be used? Are you willing to open up and speak of the one that saved you and made you his child? That's what we're called to do. And I trust we will. Our nation needs it. We need it. Our friends and relatives need it. And you'll be surprised how you will see the glory of God when you live it out and speak it out. Let's pray together. Lord, help us. You've commissioned us, you've called us, you've cleansed us, you've made us whole, you've placed us into the family of God. You've given us a better covenant, a new covenant. You've put a new heart into us. Let us never be silent. Jesus is Lord. And that's our cry to a fallen world. And we pray that you'll use us and that we will be instrumental in seeing men and women bow the knee before our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.